All right, Kevin Barker, 5-2, the Blue Jays beating the Seattle Mariners in their home opener. The numbers to call, as always, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. If you're at the ballpark, stuck in traffic, or if you're at the ballpark, stuck in traffic. You got to tell me why you booed the skipper. Like, have you been waiting 5 months to do that?
Sounded like it.
I also want to know what you think about the newly configured Rogers Center. Maybe you were lucky enough to sit in the lower bowl. Tell us what it was like. Looks great.
It's beautiful.
It looks kind of oddly Yankee Stadium-ish in the lower bowl.
Watch your mouth.
Oddly, I say. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Kevin Barker, Jose Berríos, early. So far, he's pitched to an ERA of 1.45. He was awfully good today.
Yeah, it's the best sinker he's had all year in my mind. This is the third start. It looked like command-wise, rhythm-wise, timing-wise, ball out of the glove. He's not rushing it. He was more pulling it. We said this today on our show, that when he's doing that and he's staying in his lanes and he can command both sides of the plate, right into a righty, away to a lefty, and then he can start backdooring the two-seamer occasionally to a righty. He can elevate the two-seamer into a righty. Like, he can do a bunch of different things to, you know, both sides of the plate. It's not only the quadrants, it's both sides of the plate. And then once he finds the release point of that, he starts spinning it off that release point. And for me, he had three different breaking balls. He had, you know, one he could throw to a lefty that looked like a breaking ball that had more of a 12-6 break. He had a slider that he could throw to a righty, and then he was throwing that sweeper. And every time he missed, it was always on the black or a little bit off the plate. Those really tough takes that you talk about all the time. That's how you get 101 pitches, 72 strikes, 39 of those are sinkers, 39 of those are sliders. He had 25 called strikes. It was exactly what the doctor ordered, right? You get him a lead, let him pound the zone, let him do it with a little confidence, and then it makes it real tough for that manager to come out and take him out. And you could tell Jose was a little chapped. He didn't like that. Like,
no, he did not like
it. He was coming off the field there yelling and screaming into his glove. He wasn't a big fan of being taken out. And that, I think, is what you want your number one guy right now to be like. It's real tough for that manager to go out there. The conversation between the two is not the greatest all the time.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want. And, you know, you give the ball to the lead to the bullpen, and, you know, they take it and run with it. So, yeah, it was a good win for them.
I mean, you know, you think back to what the last time a lot of these people, sort of the last big Blue Jays event, if you want to call it that, was the postseason last year, where John Schneider took Jose Berríos out of the game against the Minnesota Twins. That was the talking point all year long. And then, of course, Jose Berríos pitches the home opener. John Schneider has to go to, and there was a great camera shot of John Schneider. He was smiling when he knew what was coming. Now, I maybe getting booed a little bit during the pregame introduction had something to do with it. He knew as soon as he walked out there, though, that he was going to hear it from the fans. And, you know, look, it's, again, I want to hear if you were one of the fans here and booed. I want to know why.
I mean, there you know? Wasn't too many people that weren't booing. It was pretty loud in here. That's the loudest I've ever seen a manager get booed. Have you? You ever heard of a manager getting booed like that?
I mean,
game at home?
No, not the first game at home. I know there are a lot of people who worship at the altar of Gibby, but trust me, Gibby's first go around here, they booed his ass badly a couple of times, but not. I haven't heard a manager booed on opening day. I just haven't. Anyhow.
I mean, it can't change what you believe in, though. If you believe that Jose Berríos is done and the guy you're going to will be better suited to get the next guy out, you got to do it. Like, you got to bear it. Walk out there and take the ball.
You know, we saw signs of an offensive resurgence. I don't know if I want to say resurgence. We certainly saw signs in the Bronx.
You can say that.
That the offense was coming around. No home runs today, but five doubles. Vladdy doubled. We talked about it. That might be the best swing other than the home run he's had this year.
Yep.
Vladdy's double. Davis Schneider drove in a couple of runs. We got to talk about Alejandro Kirk. Kevin Barker, he's had 15 at-bats so far this year with runners in scoring position. Now, he singled in the first inning. He struck out in the second inning, struck out in the third, struck out in the fifth with runners in scoring position, hit into a double play in the eighth. Kevin, he's come up to the plate 15 times with runners in scoring position. That's far and away the most of anybody in this team. That's,
yeah.
I understand the game. You know, the game's the game, but I'm just not. I don't know how you manage around that. I don't know if you can manage.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Look. I think his at bats are getting better. I mean, Luis Castillo's filthy. Like, you got to stay in your legs. You got to give your barrel a chance and not let your eyes chase Luis Castillo around the strike zone. If you do, he's going to take you behind the woodshed. But give Alejandro Kirk credit tonight. At least that one single with two strikes. I mean, that's staying in your legs. That's using your barrel a little bit more. Bat looked a little bit quicker. I mean, from the fifth guy on, who else do you want up with runners in scoring position? I mean, I think this is where they're at, right? It's you're just hoping that somebody can catch fire after the fourth guy and somebody can step up and start getting some big hits and be a little bit more mechanical sound. I will say this, Alejandro Kirk tonight, bat looked quicker. I don't know about you. It did.
It looked more like the bat we saw in spring training than what we've seen in the regular season.
Absolutely. So, I mean, they're might be doing a little praying, you know, sometimes at the bottom of that order. But, I mean, I think they're going to keep running him out there, giving him chances. Seems that way.
The Jays had a couple of stolen bases in this game. The first one was a pretty big steal by Kevin Kiermaier. You're up in the press
yelling
box screaming for him to go.
Let's do it. He does go.
Vladdy doubles him in.
Yeah.
Kevin Kiermaier also made a couple of really nice defensive plays, a couple of good throws, cut off a couple of balls.
It's amazing when that dude on the mound is pounding that strike zone, boy, how everybody's up on their toes and running balls down. It's amazing how that works.
It looked good tonight.
It does.
And then, of course, the Mariners, though, I mean, a couple of home runs off the Jays' bullpen. But really, beyond that, Jose Barrios, man, was
he was cruising. He was getting after it. The sinker, it's almost like Bassett, except he throws a little bit harder. When they have the sinker working, and, you know, the sinker sort of gets Barrios into his mechanics, right? He's gathered over the mound, his landing spots to ride, his release points on point, and then it goes to the slurve. And when he's got those two things working, good luck.
All right, I asked the question about John Schneider getting booed.
You got it started, didn't you? Instead of asking about the game, what you got to ask.
I mean,
Just pile on.
Well, I'll tell you what. What do you think they're going to be? What do you think people are going to be talking about tomorrow, man?
I know
that does not happen.
It does not.
Tim and Hamilton, you want to address the booing of the manager. Why am I not surprised that the hammer would come through the first call? Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys. Well, I know I disagree with it because I didn't have as much of a problem as everyone else with the call last year. I think that, like, you know, looking at Barrios' season as a whole, 2022 was so bad for him that, like, you're kind of seeing ghosts anytime he did get hit. In his last game against the Yankees, he was perfect through three, and then he gave up a leadoff walk and then a two-run homer. And with the offense being as anemic as it was, like, I don't blame Schneider for the kind of clenched butt managing, if you will. Like, he had to get ahead of everything.
Fair point. That's a fair point, Tim.
I think this year, you know, they just have to establish trust. It's about process. You know, I know you guys are talking about 5-5 and 6-4. But, like, with the sort of binary approach to this year thus far, where it's either they're there or they're completely absent, there's no trust there. So I think it's just about process and playing each game consistently.
Yeah, Tim, that's a great point. Yep. Thanks for the call. And look, yeah, let's be clear. The Jays lost to the Minnesota Twins not because John Schneider took Jose Barrios out of the game. They lost because they couldn't beg, borrow, or steal a hit, and because they had some pretty shoddy base running. But I don't know if the decision was as big an issue or the way it was handled afterwards.
I think it's both.
That contributed to it.
Yeah, I think,
like,
it's both.
It was allowed to fester. You know, it took a couple of days before Mark Shapiro came out and kind of put it to bed.
Yep.
Ross Atkins really didn't put it to bed. Mm-hmm. John Schneider, you know, he did his post-game availability. And look, talk to the players. There were a lot of surprised looks when that
I don't think there was
made.
A surprise with Brios. I mean, it sounds like he knew going in that this was going to be the case.
But he did say
surprised at how well he
that
was
I was – essentially, yeah. What he said is, I was surprised they stuck to the plan because I was throwing so well.
You're predicting the future here, right? Yeah. And when you got the future predicted, you don't want to adapt and do something else. And that was sort of, you know, what you were trying to do there. Every little play mattered, and I think that was part of it. When you don't win, it festers, and fans were looking for a reason to boo John, and, you know, they took advantage of it. It would be interesting to see if they go on a little mini winning streak here, if that will continue every time John walks around. That'll be interesting.
You know what? I think Toronto fans quite often boo the moment. They boo the situation.
Probably right.
And, yeah, I hope once the season starts, you know, once we get into the grind of the season and, you know, you got a Monday night game and then a Tuesday night game, then an afternoon game, then an off day, then a Thursday. And once the season itself gets going.
If it's working, you stop booing.
Exactly.
If it ain't working.
But, look, yeah. I mean, let's be clear. Fans were not happy the way the season ended last year.
Well, it's been 2 years coming, Jeff.
Fans were not happy with the offseason the team had. That was obvious during pregame introductions today. It's the quietest I can remember for players. You know, and that's – Tim's right. I think there is. Maybe that's a perfect way to put it, Tim, is trust is going to have to be re-earned around
here.
Yeah,
he nailed it.
Yeah. And on the part of a lot of people. That includes the front office.
Hit and they will come, Jeff.
Exactly. Gavin in Minnesota. Whereabouts are you in Minnesota?
I'm kind of in the St. Cloud area right now, going to school up there for college. So
nice.
St. Cloud State.
No. St. John's. I'm kind of a private school loser, so.
That's all right.
That's all right. It's great country. I spent a lot of time in Minnesota, so it's great country. Thanks for joining us. You want to talk about Jose Berríos?
Yeah, I mean, just growing up, obviously with the Twins on all the time, I watch a ton of Berríos. I think for the most part, the most divisive question in, like, the Twins' standpoint of things for a couple of years was Berríos an ace, or was he a really good number two? In my opinion, he has the stuff to be an ace. I just think, like, it really does come down to consistency and overall just day in and day out, you know, giving you more consistent performances. I think, like, it's his blow-up starts that are really, like, what's holding him back from taking that next step. I was just wondering your guys' thoughts on that. Do you think he can take the next step, or is he just kind of a good number two?
Yeah, Gavin, I appreciate the call. I mean, one of the knocks against Jose Berríos for me, well, first of all, he's dependable, which is great, and that, given the way pitchers are falling today, and we saw Framber Valdez may have an appointment with a surgeon at some point. Given the way pitchers are falling, his predictability is important. I look at it this way. I don't know. Classic definition of an ace, I mean, his ERA is 145 right now. ERAs and everything.
Call it Wednesday when they pitch.
But, yeah, I love Jose Berríos. I don't see him being that guy. I see him being a very good number two guy. I don't know about an ace, though. I don't know about an ace.
Look, I think if he starts, you know, establishing a little bit more of the cutter, you know, that will keep the lefties a little bit more honest. He threw six of those tonight. I think he threw six of them. And I know he got one punch out, I think, against a righty. You know, he starts that thing at their hip. He freezes them. It's sort of what he does to a lefty with the two-seamer. I mean, he's working both sides of the plate. That will make him a little bit more unpredictable. That will make the slurve that much better. I mean, he's a spin-first guy. Spin-first guys need to have a little trickery occasionally. Mm-hmm. And if he can add the cutter, that will give him a different pitch to another side of the plate. That'll make him a little bit, you know, tougher to sort of hone in on and think along with. But, I mean, does it matter? Like, I think they got, what, two or three number twos. I mean, Gausman, when he's raring and ready to go and that thing's working and the velocity's where it needs to be, I think that is your true number one, right? He's matching up against the other team's number one because of the punch-outs. When you're a guy that allows the ball to be put in play, it's very hard for you to be called an ace. So that's what I said. Guys that want to take the sting out of your bat instead of taking the bat out of your hand, those are hard guys to call aces. So I'm okay with him being a really, really good number two.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I keep stressing the word dependable. He's a dependable guy. Would I, you know, must, I'll tell you this, must win game. Would I feel comfortable with him on the mound? Yes, I would feel comfortable with him.
Is it warm weather, dome for Gosman?
Yeah.
If it's dome,
if
warm
it's
weather?
Dome, warm weather, oh, I'm yeah. okay. But, oh. I mean, now we're talking, okay, we're talking, I don't know, let's just, I don't want to look ahead to playoffs, but let's say we're talking cool weather in Minnesota, playoff game. I'm pretty comfortable.
Well, I think they were telling you last year about putting him as the number two starter, not Bassett.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. Just looking at Jose Berríos, again, pitching wins don't really matter, but, well, statistically, we're going to get in that argument. His ERA was 3.65. I mean, I guess it's something like 125 right now, 145. I don't know if he would ever be the classic ace, yep. but again, for he's hugely.
Could he be a 20 quality start guy and a 17 pitch per inning guy?
That's
what you got to ask yourself. Those are what aces look like. If he can do that, I mean, more power to you. Put him in it. I just think it's the punch outs. It's allowing guys to put balls in play. You know, you need that moment where you need a punch out. That's what I said. You can add a little something different with the cutter. You can tell he's getting a little bit more comfortable throwing it,
mm-hmm.
and that'll make it a little tougher for a hitter. Give him something else to think about, especially second and third time through, because that's what you want him to be, right? You want to give him the ball third time through in
there
order.
A couple of things we saw from Jose Berríos tonight as well. You think about Jose Berríos when he's feeling good, when he's pitching well. There's a lot of interaction with his catcher.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of nodding and fist pumping, mm-hmm. and we saw that. He walks off the mound nodding to the umpire. Like this was a classic Jose Berríos, just body language stuff. Everything about it was kind of that's what you would take every time out.
And the dudes chapped. I love that.
Yeah, like, early in
I
the
just
year.
Like, I just like occasionally every once in a while it's me against you, and how dare you even try and take me out. Like, I like that.
Yeah, I would love to have had a little microphone dangling in.
I think he's too nice of a guy to.
Oh, I don't think he would ever show his manager up or anything like that. But there was, it looked very much as if there was some sort of conversation in the dugout for, and I don't know if they really.
I'm sure there was one of those things. What you doing out here, Coach? I'm pretty good today. You noticed?
416-870-0590. Go away. *590 1-888-666-0590. Remember it happened.
We've done this before.
Remember it happened the last
the
time
same
you took
place.
Me out and I was dealing.
Oh boy.
Second game of the series is tomorrow, by the way. 7:07 first pitch. Game three of the series is 3:07 first pitch on Wednesday. Mike in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, fun game tonight. Just wanted to comment on the booing situation of Schneider. I was one that was booing as well. I just think, like, you can't trust this guy. You know, he's your opening day starter. You can't trust him in the seventh inning. You're up by a few runs to face the number eight hitter after he gave up a little broken bat single to, you know, with two outs. Like, I just think that's silly. And I'm concerned about trusting Schneider when there's actually really important decisions, because I'm not sure that he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, well, and further to the point, I'm not entirely certain how much say he has in the important decisions. I mean, I'm sure he's got some say, but I don't, you know, do we still know how it transpired? I guess the way I put it this way, and I'll ask you this, Mike, based on what we were told at the end of the playoffs last year when the team was eliminated, did you believe what you heard?
No, I believe that was a front office decision. Schneider figured if he goes against it, he's no good. He's out of there,
right.
And I think that's why he would refuse to say that at the end.
I will
I
say this
that's
though.
A front office thing.
I will say this though, Mike. How many pitches? He had 101 pitches tonight.
Yeah,
101 pitches. This given, you know, back in the day, 101 pitches is nothing, but 101 pitches right now. I wasn't as surprised as when Berríos came out of the game. I mean, I think I looked at you and said, as soon as he gets somebody on base here, they're going to take him out. Like, I wasn't surprised. And I know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
My friend Barker's up in the press box going, "Don't do it, John. Don't do it. Don't do it, John. Don't do it." Yeah, he did say
that's
it.
That's exactly what I was saying to my brother who I was there with. And then I didn't see him right away, so I thought we were safe. And then, you know, he came out. And then he didn't point right away, so I thought, okay, he's just, you know, having a little conversation because he does that.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, Mike, if he had come out and not taking Berríos out of the game, heads would have exploded. I mean, it would have been even worse. Why are you you're doing it now, but you weren't doing it in Minnesota?
Or if Garcia gave it up.
Hey, Mike, do you think this is going to continue? Do you think that this is something John Schneider's going to wear? Or once people get it out of their system, you know, the season goes on, we'll kind of get back to normalcy around here when it comes to the manager.
I think winning cures all, and if they're doing well and winning, then it's a non-issue.
Good stuff, Mike. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Again, if you're at the ballpark today, you just want to get your thoughts on booing the manager. Want to get your thoughts on the new ballpark. Mm-hmm. First time I've seen it now empty here from the press box, and it's just sharp. It looks better.
It does.
It looks, the colors look better.
Look better when they start winning a ton, won't it?
It'll be noisy when they start winning.
How about that?
Sean in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling to say, in general, as Blue Jays Nation, we just got to take a deep breath. It's a long season. We're 10, 11 games in. It's going to be all right. These are the ebbs and flows of baseball. We just got to strap in and enjoy it.
Do you agree with Tim about, though, there may be a need for trust to be reestablished here? I mean, I think Tim's on to something.
I don't disagree, but I think there's a bit of a hangover from last season. I don't blame Jays fans, but this is baseball, guys, and there's no crying in it. So let's get our big boy pants on, let's play some great baseball, and let's enjoy it. We're the only city in Canada that has baseball. I just find that Jays Nation is getting a little bit toxic, and I think it comes with the online community kind of driving the narratives. But, guys, you've lived through this. You've lived through a countless number of baseball seasons. When it's going bad, it's going bad, and when it's going good, it's never going to stop. That's how this goes.
Appreciate the call, Sean. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. A winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. 5-2, the Jays win their home opener in front of a sellout crowd of 40,069. Second game of the series tomorrow is a 7:07 first pitch start. Wednesday is the first work from the dome game. 3:07 will be the first pitch Wednesday afternoon as the Jays and Mariners wrap up the series, and then the Colorado Rockies come into town for Guaranteed Win Weekend. 3 games. Friday, Saturday.
Boy, you
Friday,
that.
Saturday, it's Sunday.
You jinxed that.
I did jinx that, by the way. That's what they call the commentator's curse. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll go back to the phone lines. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. In the home opener at a sold-out Rogers Center. 40,069 fans in attendance tonight. If you are wondering, Blue Jays pitchers with 6-plus scoreless innings in a home opener, Jimmy Key, 1989 against the Royals, Dave Steeb, 1990 against the Rangers, friend of the show, Pat Henkin, 1996 against the Angels, Marcus Stroman, 2019 against the Tigers, and Jose Berrios today, 2024. Against the Seattle Mariners. Ashvin on the DVP. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
How's it going?
Going well, man.
Awesome. I've been going with friends for the last 20 years to home openers.
Yep.
And just the vibe that I got this year, it was weird. It was quiet. It seemed reserved. It was something that... it was waiting for something for the Jays to do something good before anybody was really willing to get out and start celebrating. Even before we come down, we go to Real Sports before heading down to the game. Even at Real Sports last year, they had all these events. They had Pro Line down there. They're like, hey, let's do some stuff with the Jays. But apparently there was a Leaf game today. So there was nothing happening at Real Sports before even getting to the game. We kind of wondered if there was even a home opener. Getting to the game quiet and watching it was just, it just seemed weird. It was just a very odd vibe all the way through, and getting to the point where Schneider had to come out and take out Berrios, like, really, is this happening? Yeah, you're throwing 100 pitches. He had one more batter. Let's get out of this. He looked like he was throwing fine. He was throwing smoke all day. It just seemed off. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened since last year's game. And this is the first time we've seen him since they played in Minnesota, and I think everybody still remembers it. And
yeah.
it just was off. It just seemed off compared to what we've seen.
Ashvin, do you think that it's something that, you know, obviously, look, winning cures everything, as one of the previous callers said, but do you think it's something that, you know, fans have had their say and now they'll move on, right? Because I guarantee you John Schneider's probably going to make a pitching change at some point tomorrow. And I'm just wondering what the reaction will be like then.
Honestly, I was hoping for a "we want Cito" chant, to be honest. And no offense to John, like, I think he's doing a great job, but I don't even know if it's his call.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it feels like. And if he's going out there to pull a pitcher, I feel like someone's telling him to go do it.
Ashvin, appreciate the call. Drive safely. I mean, again, Kevin, it's going to be a thing. You know, Ashvin makes a good point. It was a weird vibe for a home opener. It was a very weird
quiet,
vibe
right?
for a home opener. It was quiet. It was.
Yeah. Are we supposed to cheer?
Reserved.
Like, that's the way it was, right? Had that feel to it.
You know what I think? And I was sitting there. People wanted somebody new to cheer for.
Maybe.
You know, and I'm not talking Shohei Ohtani new, but I think people wanted something new to cheer for. And then, you know, IKF, Justin Turner, I don't think going into the offseason people thought that would be the newness. I think they expected something a little more dramatic. You know, the road trip, the way they lost games, kind of reinforcing your worst fears of what this team may be like. I could see it. I can see why there was kind of that mood.
I just don't think fans realize or know if this team's any good or not. Like, I think they know their pitching's good, but I'm not sure they know offensively, you know, what they're going to give you, and they need to see it firsthand. And until they do, it's hard to know really what to do.
Joey and Vaughn, you were at the game tonight. Tell us about your experience. Again, for a lot of us, this is the first time I've been in. I just haven't gotten down here. I haven't had time. This is the first time I've been in the ballpark, and this is the first time I'm seeing it, you know, empty and sort of getting a sense of what it looks like and, you know, what it just kind of feels like in its raw state. It looks great.
Yeah, definitely. The seats were amazing. We're sitting right behind the Jays dugout and padded seats, and the bathrooms were beautiful. The snack area was really nice. Our area, the VIP area, wasn't open yet, but you got a sense that everything is coming along. At the same time, I agree with the previous caller. The fans were really, really quiet. Even the ceremony, like, everyone was just kind of sitting in their seats. It was kind of odd. Even my son is a huge fan, and he was kind of surprised as well.
What'd you make of the reaction to John Schneider?
I was booing as well. I didn't want Brios to come out of the game, but at the same time, I didn't realize he threw 101 pitches. So after I learned that, I guess it was the right decision.
Appreciate the call. Again, I think we're getting a sense from people. I think there is. Yeah, I think there's still some long memories.
Yeah, it's here. Almost like you have a number in mind. No matter what, when he reaches that number, you're taking him out of the game. He gave up a 0-2 bloop single to right field. Like, is that warrant you taking him out? He looked to me like he's cruising.
And you got the number 8 and number 9 hitters coming up.
I mean, he threw 20 of 25 strike ones.
Yeah.
Like, he was doing things on the mound that he hasn't done all year. And for him to give up that number just seems sure, like,
and
sometimes it's so planned out.
How many called strikes did he get?
He had 25 called strikes. I didn't break the number. I don't know if it's how many sinkers or how many slurves.
I mean, at one point
cutters.
We looked and it was like 15 slurves, I think.
Well, I think there was 9 at one time, and then there was, you know, somewhere in the 22 range when it come to called strikes. I mean, he threw enough to get him in swing mode.
This was John Schneider after the game talking about taking out Jose Berrios.
Did you have trouble suppressing a smile when they booed you to go out and get Berrios?
No. I mean, no. It is what it is. He's not going to throw a complete game every day.
And the second one is this sort of a signature win for this group? Contributions on both sides of the ball, defense, and a relentless offense.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. I mean, it starts on the mound. Hosey was awesome. You know, really, we were really short in the pen tonight. And, you know, he stepped up. But huge at-bats, Kirky, Schneid, Izzy, and then, you know, kind of tacking on runs there at the end is a big thing. You know, Bo and Vlad doing their thing, getting another run in there. Just it's everyone kind of, you know, doing what they're supposed to do tonight. Great defense as well. So that was a complete ball game.
We were short in the pen, and then you take him out after he gives up a blue single on an 0-2 pitch. You would think you'd give him a little longer leash because he's cruising, and he's throwing a bunch of strike ones, and his slurve's never been better because he's got three different ones, that you would let him at least finish the inning. And then you give the other guy a clean inning. He does his job. And then Chad Green comes out for the ninth inning. I mean, it worked out that way anyway. They were going to give Jimmy Garcia four batters, right?
Yes.
Because it was three
Pockets.
Days. It was 3 days between pitching.
Yeah.
That's more what it's right. Like, and it's the meat of the order. You're thinking he's getting the meat of the order most of the time, other than Chad Green's getting it. I mean, it's just sort of worked out that way. But it looks like, you know, they're more comfortable throwing Jimmy Garcia out there because of all the breaking balls, and you get lefties out right now a little bit, you know, easier than Chad Green can. But I mean, when he says we're short in the pen, like, my starter's pretty dang good. Like, okay.
All right.
I mean, I don't even want to tackle that. They won. Like, let's be positive, and, you know, at least their offense looked like they were competing. Like, they got a pitch to hit, and they didn't miss it a lot of the times, which is, when have we seen that? So that'll give you room for hope.
You know, that one of the callers mentioned Cito, and I'll tell you, one of the things Cito always used to say that has always stuck with me is when you have a game where you got a lot of doubles, doubles are a sign that you're feeling pretty good about. No, home runs are great, obviously. Don't get anybody wrong. But a lot of doubles are a good sign. And Cito is a pretty good hitting coach. He viewed guys getting doubles as that's – and they got five of them tonight. It was a big part. It was a big part of the offense. I'm going to squeeze one more caller in. Chris in Scarborough, take us home.
Hey, guys.
Not literally, but.
I was just wondering, do you guys think that the Jays fans are a little bit too harsh on the front office? I'm old enough to remember the Ricciardi years, and back then, I mean, all I would pray for was meaningful games in September. And now with Atkins and Shapiro, we're, like, making the playoffs almost every year, or at the very least, we're playing meaningful games in September. And as we always say, the playoffs are a crapshoot. You know, it's two games. You could get swept, but we're making the playoffs. And what Shapiro has done with the spring training facilities and the Rogers Center, I mean, the Rogers Center was horrible during the Ricciardi years. It's pretty amazing now. For me, the one thing I would say that they can be blamed for is the minor leagues and the players that are coming up. But I think this team we have now, which, you know, people don't seem to like, what it comes down to is it was built because we thought and they thought Vladdy was going to be a 40 home run, 120 RBIs, 1,000 OPS perennial player. And Vladdy hasn't turned into that. And I think that's kind of affected the whole team. So I really think that, you know, we're kind of harsh on Atkins, particularly, and Shapiro, because we have good teams every year. But, you know, the fans are complaining because we can't get far in the playoffs. Well, if you were alive during the Ricciardi years, I mean, you're happy now, right? I'll hang up in here.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Not only was I alive during the Ricciardi
years. I played for him.
Barker played for him.
Stay hot.
Stay hot. Barker played for him, and I
couldn't pick me out of the lineup either.
We had him on the show one
he
time,
did.
And what did he say?
Yeah, I gave you your shot first. Yeah, I've been to big leagues like three other times before that.
Yeah, no, but listen, the caller makes a good point about that. You know, there was so much to do with this team, and I sometimes think we lose sight of that. I think I went up in my soapbox day and talked a little bit about the Ricciardi years and Interbrew and how, you know, go back and look at the payrolls this team was running. And I can remember the state of the franchise thing every year where season ticket holders would show up and be complaining because the hot water wasn't working in the expensive seats, or there was no water at all. And it was just kind of a dingy mausoleum. I mean, it really wasn't aging all that well. And, you know, this Mark Shapiro, Monty Starkman, you know, ownership, they've sunk a lot of money into fixing this thing up to the point where I don't think we have to worry about building a new ballpark in this city for a while. And trust me, when J.P. Ricciardi was here in the early days of this ownership group, you know, one of the topics of discussion with Paul Godfrey all the time was, do we have to build a new park? I mean, you know, at some point there's got to be a decision made in this. You know, and as for the rest of it, hell, I blame it on Alex Anthopoulos. You know, Alex Anthopoulos knew that he was going to be out of a job or knew that he was leaving, and he basically just blew the doors off to get Tulowitzki and David Price in here. And, you know, he did it at a time where they had Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista. They had a lot go their way. And I will agree, Kevin, I think we both agree with the caller in one particular point. I do find it disappointing that we are 2 years away from Vladdy and Bo, and the minor league system does not have – I'm not saying everybody's going to have a Vladdy and Bo at the same time, but as far as I can tell, there's nobody there who is going to step up and be the next guy right now.
Yeah, and if you're a fan that wants to pick at everything, I mean, Vladdy's been this Vladdy for 2 years in a row now. Like, that, I think, why fans will raise their hand and go, you know, you need to get him a little help. That'd be nice. The IKFs of the world, sometimes not enough, Jeff.
5-2, a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. We'll get to do it again tomorrow night at the Rogers Center. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hyde Park and North and South London. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.